Back to Psalm chapter 19. In this psalm, we see, first of all, what is called in theological terminology the general and the special revelation of God. God's general revelation is what we see in verses 1 through 6. His special revelation is what we have in verses 7 through 11. And then David closes his psalm in verses 12 through 14 by his response to both, but primarily to God's special revelation, which is his written word. In the first six verses, though, what David is declaring about the Lord is the glory of God as creator. And he begins in verse 1 by saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Both verbs, declare and proclaims, are participles in that text. And so they are speaking of a ongoing, continual, never-ending declaration and proclamation of God's glory recited in and through what God has created. Now, very specifically, David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above," or the expanse, more literally, "proclaims his handiwork." The heavens would be what we see during the day. And thus, David says in verse 2, "Day to day pours out speech." And so that's referring to the heavens. The heavens are declaring, even now, as we look, and they are reciting to us God's glory. That is the weightiness of the transcendent God. But the expanse above is referring to what David then says in the second clause of verse 2, "Night to night reveals knowledge." So imagine, you know, what we see in the daytime in the heavens above. You know, we're beholding the transcendence of our great God who has created all these things before us. But when evening comes, we then see the expanse of what we see above. Imagine, and I'm sure it'd be very easy for you to imagine this because you've experienced this before, imagine a clear night. Imagine one of those clear nights when there are no clouds in the sky and you see the expanse of the heavens. You see the stars as far as your eye can see. And what the night skies are proclaiming to us is God's precision, his care, his power, his ability. In other words, we see in the nighttime, on a clear night, the expanse of the heavens and how far they go. In fact, so far, we can't see that far. But in that moment, at least for the child of God, we sense our smallness, and we sense immediately God's greatness by his handiwork. Wow. "Look, O Lord, at what you have done." This is reminiscent of what David says in Psalm chapter 8. "O Yahweh, our Adonai, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Do you feel the smallness? What is man that you are mindful of him, in the Son of Man that you care for him? Because you see, the heavens and the expanse of the skies are reciting each and every day the splendor, the majesty of God our Creator. Day to day, bubbling out speech, that pours out speech is a more literal rendering, is bubbling out like from a great fountain or spring. Night to night, knowledge is revealed. But then in verse 3, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. When we look and behold at God's handiwork in creation, it is communicating what one writer calls a silent splendor. A silent splendor. We're not hearing a voice, an audible voice. And yet the speech, the proclamation, the knowledge that is declared is never ending. But it is communicating the splendor of God silently. Silently. These words in the first three verses of Psalm 19 reminds us of what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. And I don't think it would be far off to say that Paul, perhaps, was thinking of Psalm 19. That he had Psalm 19 in mind as the Spirit was breathing in him these words. The subject, of course, in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18 and following, is bespeaking of man in sin under the wrath of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. But verse 19 is where we want to go. For what can be known about God is plain to them. How's it plain? Take a look. There it is. Because God has shown it to them. And then listen to this, verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they, these irreligious pagans, they are without excuse. In other words, we would put it in our vernacular, there's really no such thing as atheist. Because what really is an unbeliever who declares himself or herself an atheist? Only what Paul says in verse 18. They suppress the truth. The truth about what? The truth they know about God. They know God is there. They know God is there. Now, they may not know his name. They may not know what they should know about him that would lead them to salvation. That knowledge comes from his written word. That's the special revelation of Scripture. But nevertheless, they know God is there. By what he has made, by his handiwork. They know he is there. And so the little pygmy in deep, darkest Africa has no excuse, though he's never heard the gospel, he's never heard of Christ, but he still has no excuse. Because God has made plain to him that he is there. And everything he is beholding and looking at day in and day out when he gets up and goes out into the thick jungle to do whatever little pygmies in deep, darkest Africa do. He knows. He knows. God is there. For although they knew God, back in Romans 1, they knew God, not in a saving way, not in a redemptive way, but they knew in a general way, he is there. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And there is your birth of all these other man-made religions. Exchanging the truth about God for a lie. Paul says they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, even though they knew about the creator. They knew. Because God made it plain. He made it plain. And that's what David is saying in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Verse 4, their voice goes out through all the earth. Or, another way to say it, which would actually be a better and more obvious translation than their voice goes out, it would be their measuring line. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. In other words, the heavens declaring the glory of God do so in the territory which God has allotted to the heavens to declare his glory. And what is that territory? It's all the earth. That's the territory. That's the measuring line. All the earth is the territory which God has given to the heavens, to the expanse of the heavens, to pour out speech day to day and knowledge night to night. But then David, at the latter half of verse 4 and all the way to the end of verse 6, he then brings in another of God's creations, the sun. And look at the poetic language David uses here. In them, them being the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Two different poetical images of the sun. The heavens, the expanse of them in the evening, is like a tent for the sun. You know, the sun sets, as we say, and we do not see it in the evening. That's because the tent, as it were, is closed in. The night skies have closed it off from our view, from our sight. But then, in the following day, the sun comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Like a strong man runs its course with joy. There is exuberance here. There is joy here. As it were, never ending, and to move from the poetic language to then verse 6, David qualifying, this is what I mean. Its rising, speaking of the sun, is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Wow. This is just a small picture in Psalm 119 of one thing which God spoke into existence, which God created, i.e. the sun. And David is saying, look at how it declares God's glory. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And all of this, verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 19, all of this is saying that creation, what God has created, is plainly declaring the weightiness of His majesty, of His splendor as God the Creator, as omnipotent, each and every day. Creation is speaking, reciting to the glory of God. Whether men acknowledge or not, it doesn't make it untrue. It doesn't make it untrue. Again, that's the reason why there really is no such thing as atheist. Unbelievers who wear that tag on them, they're just really the worst kind of liars, because they're suppressing the truth of what David is telling us in Psalm 19, the truth that they know. It's there. It's plain to them. It's plain to them. But of course, the creation doesn't tell us who God is. The creation does not point us to the Savior. The creation tells us God is there. And He should be worshiped and He should be thanked. Remember what Paul says in Romans 1. And for that much, God's wrath is poured out on the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But it's until we come to the special revelation, to the Word of God, His written Word, there is where God reveals, this is who I am. And this is how you can come to know me. But we will not go there today. That will be next time when we look again at Psalm 19. But today, the day we just see in verses 1 through 6, the silent splendor of God as Creator declared, held forth in all that He has created. It is glory indeed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do honor You and glory in You as our Lord, our God, our Creator. And we do indeed affirm this morning, Father, with Your holy word, that all that You have created, both in the heavens and on earth, declare Your glory. They pour out the speech of Your majesty and splendor. And Father, we pray that even for us as Your children, Lord, forgive us for so many times that we have not paused long enough to conscientiously express thanksgiving to you for the revelation of your divine power and your glory through that which you have made. And so, Lord, we thank you for the teaching of your word that reveals such truth to us, where in our application of this truth, let us not be like irreligious pagans who do not honor you and give you thanks, Father, for all that you have made and given and show forth concerning your majesty by the handiwork of your creation. Lord, we know there's enough remaining sin in our members where we can be ungrateful in that way. And so where we have been so guilty, by your grace, we resolve to repent, thanking you always for the blood of Jesus Christ that has made a perfect atonement for even these sins. But Father, too, we think of unbelievers in this regard who get up day in and day out, who go into the world that is yours, the world you created, and have no recognition of what you have done and of who you are. Heavenly Father, this morning we hold such people before your throne of grace, people that we even know on a very personal level, people in our families, people in the workplace, the marketplace. And we plead with you, Father, that you would pour out your saving mercies upon them, that you would call them out of the darkness of their denial of you, their ingratitude toward you, the darkness of their worshiping the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. We pray, Holy Father, that you would cause such people as these, sinners, unbelieving, to be born again, to be born from above, and that with that new principle of life created in them by the Holy Spirit, through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in Him, they would indeed see and behold what they had been blind to before. That they would see and behold the greatness of who you are in saving them, and in the fact that you've created them and created all that they see in the heavens and on the earth. We plead with you, Holy Father, for the working of your grace in this regard, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the spreading of his saving gospel. In his name we pray. Amen.